We thank the Matif family again for coming and singing. I trust the Lord will bless that peace to all our hearts, that we all have a concern for souls and for the work of God and for the cause of our Saviour. We thank them for coming. Trust the Lord will bless them and use them as they sing for the Lord here, there and yonder, as the Lord would lead. Now we give again a very special welcome to our guest preacher, the Reverend Millen, Philip Millen. We trust the Lord will richly bless him tonight as he would read the Scriptures to us and preach the message the Lord has laid upon his heart. The Lord bless you.
Can I just thank your minister for the words of welcome. Privilege, it's a joy to be with you tonight at your harvest service. And it's good to see the Lord's faithfulness to us as a nation and a country. In spite of the climate change scaremongering that we have today, which is really hyped up, the Lord has promised, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease, nor cold and heat. And we have evidence of this tonight. And they're talking, scaremongering people, trying to get your taxes out of you, saying that somehow our country is going to heat up so much that we're going to have floods and all sorts of things. Well, you know, my God's in charge of the climate. Always has been, always will be. Why is Greenland called Greenland? For this simple reason, that one many, many years ago it was a green. Now it's a wasteland, frozen wasteland. If you look back in history, in the River Thames, way back in the winter time, the River Thames was solidly frozen over, and they used to have their winter harvest on the river. I live in Randallstown, opposite the end of Lurgan, Loch Ney, and I was reading about the bleached green people that owned it. They owned another factory over at Lurgan. And the owner used to travel between the two factories. As a shortcut, you know how he travelled? He travelled across Loch Ney, not in a boat, but in a horse and carriage. Why? Because Loch Ney was solidly frozen over in those days. So our God always had, they hadn't CO2 then. They hadn't CO2, well, at least they tell you that. Let me tell you something. I have a car, and it's got one of these diesel particulate filters on it. And you know, it'll hardly go now. It'll hardly go. It cuts down my road tax so that I only pay £20 a year road tax. But I'll tell you something. You know what's cost me to get this thing fixed? £1,100. So I'm paying it back to them again. So this is all a con. We can see all around. And we can see testimony to the goodness of our God. And can I thank the Matif family for singing again? It's good to renew fellowship with them. And good to see our sister Pearl with us tonight. She's just keeping an eye on the family, that they behave themselves. And if they get something out of tune, a wrong note, yeah, she'll come across their knuckles with the ruler. It reminds me on the bar mitzvah in Israel, the wee boy, he's 12 years old, he stands at the desk, he's reading the Hebrew Bible, the first five chapters, the first five books of Moses, and if he gets it wrong, the old scribe is standing with a rod to hit him across the knuckles. And they learn by root system. We have thrown that out of the windows today in our education system. We don't do any longer rote. When I was at school, we had to learn our tables. And the teacher had a big cane. And you got a whack across the knuckles if you didn't get it right. Now, we learned things in those days. Now, you sort of self-help things and all sorts of things. But it's good to be here this evening. We're turning to the Word of God, to 2 Kings chapter 4. Thank you for being with us tonight. And we pray that God will bless you. And we're thinking about you in your new building project and also your mission as well. And we pray that God will richly bless you. It's quite a number of years since I've been here. But it's good to come back again. It's good to see God's hand upon you. We're just going to leave one the portion of scripture, a few verses, 2 Kings chapter 4, breaking into the chapter, and we have the birth of a little child. It's harvest time, and this mother has conceived. She's been given a child by God. Let me say that our God loves the unborn children. We've heard a lot today and this past week about abortion and all sorts of things. I believe that a child is a child in its mother's womb. And I believe that children are fearfully and wonderfully made. And children are the heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is His reward. Children are precious. Children are precious. And it's an awful thing that little children are being aborted in a mother's womb. What a sad tragedy that is. What a curse upon our nation is that. My God sees that and my God knows that. And since we have met and you have met in your harvest services, how many children have been aborted and murdered and killed? It's an awful tragedy. Children are the heritage of the Lord. Here we have a little child. And it says in verse 17, and the woman conceived, 2 Kings chapter 4, bear a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her according to the time of life. Verse 18. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. It's harvest time. The reapers are out in the field. Verse 19. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon. Here's the tragedy. And then died. And then died. Verse 21. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. He said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon or Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not of thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. That's her text. That's the question that we're going to ask tonight at this harvest service, at this harvest meeting. This question was put to a mother when her little child had died at harvest time. Is it well with thee? Is it well with the husband? Is it well with the children? This mother, her child is dead. Here's what she says. It is well. I wonder tonight, is it well with you? We're just going to bow together for a brief word of prayer. Lord, we come to Thee, to Thy precious word. And O God, it may be, even this evening, there's somebody in this meeting, and they cannot say, it is well with me. They cannot say, my sins, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sins not in part, but the whole, are nailed to Christ's cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. They can't say that. But, O God, before this meeting is over, may they come to Christ. And at the end of the meeting, may they sing, hallelujah, it is well with my soul. So, Lord, cover us under the blood, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the Bible says it's better to go to the house of mourning than it is the house of feasting. Ah, there's not a person here who would say, I like to go to the house of mourning. That's the last place I want to go. I don't want to go to a house of mourning. But the Bible says it's better to go to the house of mourning than it is the house of feasting. I wonder why. Did you ever wonder why God would say that? It's better to be at a place of mourning. We would rather love to be at the party. We would love to be at the dinner. We would love to be enjoying ourselves at the place of feasting. But the Bible says and God says it's better to go to the house of mourning. We're coming to a house of mourning here. Because there we're faced with the reality. You know, the house of feasting lifts us out of these things, and we're so taken up with the festivities that we never think about eternity. We never think about death itself. It's good to be reminded at a harvest service about death. Why should it be better to go to the house of mourning? Because there we're faced with death. And there we're faced with reality. And the reality is this, that one day you're going to die. I'm in the ministry quite a number of years in Randallstown. And over that years of ministry, I've met with all ages who've died. The old must die, but the young may die. And there's a lot of young people here and children here. And you may die. Here's a wee child. He's a wee boy. He was out in the harvest field. And at noon he said, "My head, my head." And he's dead. He goes to his mother, and like any mother knows, lifting her child up in her arms and cuddling that wee child that she had brought into the world. That little child passes away in her arms. What a tragedy is death. I tell you, anybody dying is a tragedy, but especially a child. Many years ago this man befriended me, lived across the way. I was able to help him. He was a Roman Catholic man, and he befriended me, him and his wife. And every Christmas, I would go out to the front door, and there would be a box of chocolates or biscuits and a little card, a Christmas card, from this Roman Catholic man and his wife. They lived in Randallstown. They built a house down near Tunbridge, not far from us. And he had 5 or 6 children. One of the children was 8, a wee girl 8. The other was 12. And there was 2 or 3 other children and an older child. And the little girl who was 8 was about to celebrate her 9th birthday, and the little girl who was 12 was about to celebrate her 13th birthday. They weren't exactly on the same date or day, but the mom and father thought they would have the birthdays together. It was a Sunday. They left the children in the home. Mom and dad went out that Sunday to buy things. They're Roman Catholics. And they went on the Sunday to buy presents for their children. The eldest of the children was at home. Other wee friends had come. The wee girls went up into the bedroom. They got their wee dolls out, their cots out, the wee prams out, and they began to play. All the wee children, the wee girls up in the room, the wee fellow down below, he thought he would light a fire. Heat the house up while mom and dad was away. So he got some sticks, he got some coal, he got some petrol. And lit the fire. Some of the petrol had dripped from the fireplace along to where the sofa or the settee was. When he lit the fire went and began to burn the settee. And the smoke billowed up through the floor, and the children were just up above the room where the fire was being lit. It wasn't a wooden floor, it was a concrete slab floor. And the smoke, the acrid smoke billowed up. The wee boy panicked, and he rushed up to the girls and he shouted on them to come down, "Fire, fire!" And the wee children panicked themselves and wouldn't come down from the bedroom. Eventually, somebody rang the fire service. And the fire service came out. And all the wee girls were brought down, and the children were brought down. Some of them were critically ill. The fire service were wrestling with those wee children on the front green of the house just recently built. And up comes mum. And up comes dad. There's the fire service resuscitating, trying to resuscitate the children. They didn't get 2 children resuscitated. It was a wee girl of 8. And it was her wee sister who was 12. They were rushed, some of them, to the hospital, the Antrim area hospital. Some of them were taken up to the Royal Sick Hospital. And I remember going in when I heard that, I went into the hospital immediately. And there was Mum and Dad. And they ran down the corridor to me. I'll never forget it. Threw their arms around me. Said, our two wee children are dead. Can I tell you something, with tears from Roman Catholic eyes are ever as real as Protestant tears. And death is a tragedy. And death is a tragedy, especially for a family with little children. Maybe tonight as we speak in this harvest service, there's somebody in this meeting. You can resonate with what I'm saying. You can say, yes, I know. My little child died before it was born. My little child didn't live very long after it was born, and it's dead. The question comes, is it well with me? This mother said, it is well. Why was she able to say it's well? Well, you know, a lot of people can say in a harvest service, and you can say this tonight, it is well, but I'm not asking you, is it well physically? I'm not asking you, is it well materially? This woman that this question was put to had good standing physically, had good standing materially. She had, look at verse 10 of the chapter. I want you to note in verse 10 of 2 Kings chapter 4. This woman was a prosperous woman. It says there in verse 10, let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on a wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, and it shall be, when he cometh to us, he shall turn in hither. This woman, let me remind you about her. Here's Elisha, the prophet of God. He's traveling all over the country, and this woman provided a little chamber, a little room in her home for the man of God. To be able to do that meant she was materially well off. She was prosperous. The idea today, the philosophy today behind the lottery, is that the more you have of this world's good, the happier you will be. That's why people are and just to buy the lottery tickets, because if only we could win £1 million. Now, let me tell you something, £1 million would be nice. We'd always put a loaf of bread on the table, wouldn't it? We need a pound in our pockets. Of course we do. We're not talking about that. Of course we do. Your minister would like that sort of money. He would take his wife off and away they would go. No. The Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7. The Blesseds, which are really the word for happy. The Lord gives a description there. The biography of a person who is happy. And if you look down that list of Beatitudes, it doesn't say happy is the man or woman that has millions. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say happy are the people that are barren stockbrokers or people like that. Or the bank managers. It doesn't say that. You know what it says? Happy or blessed are they that mourn. It says blessed or happy that they are poor or are poverty stricken. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ in his day saw the same philosophy that was being preached upon. And he said this. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Can I tell you something? In my day, when I was growing up, Elvis Presley used to be a singer. He was a good singer. Not like the Menteith family. Good singer. In fact, he was brought up in Baptist circles. In fact, if you read the start of Elvis Presley's life, he sang with the youth choir. And they heard the preaching that you're hearing in the free church that you must be saved. And he sang. And he was a great singer. I remember hearing him sing, How Great Thou Art. And my, he could sing, How Great Thou Art. Elvis Presley had wealth. He could summons an aircraft to bring him a beef burger. You know, he was a generous man. And you know, his buddies, they just hung on to him. And he would say, do you want horses? He would buy them horses. He would buy them anything he wanted. But you know something? He couldn't buy happiness. He couldn't buy happiness. And his friends, when it came to the end in his Tennessee mansion in the United States of America, when it came to die, just relatively young, just 40 years or so of age, you know something? He died all alone. There was nobody there. Died bloated with drugs. Couldn't find happiness. All the money that he had, all the popularity they had, all the applauses that they had, he couldn't buy happiness. Can I tell you something? Because you can't buy happiness. There's only one that can give you happiness, and only one that can give me happiness, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Tell me this. Do you know what it is to have your sins washed away? I wasn't saved in the church. I went to Sunday school. I went to church. I was brought up that way. I learned the catechism. I learned Bible portions. I was taken in before the elders. And I was asked to recite all the catechism and all the verses. But you know, I wasn't saved. And I sat at the communion table. I was asked to sit at the communion table. And I wasn't saved as a young fella. But you know something, I used to go along to Hanover Place in Coleraine when the late Reverend John Wiley used to be the preacher there. My, he preached hellfire preaching. You didn't sleep. You didn't sleep. I'll tell you something, he fired the gospel at you, and when he fired the gospel, he didn't miss. And I heard it, but you know, I didn't get saved in the church. One night I was sitting outside in a car and people were going into a pub and the pub doors closed at 10 o'clock and young people were coming out and two young fellas got into my car. And you know something? They were drunken. They were vomiting. They were sick. And as a young fella I said, God, I don't want that in my life. I said, God, save me from that. And in my car, I can tell you, I lifted my eyes. And no, I didn't see Christ with the human eye, but I saw him with the eye of faith, and I saw the Son of God dying on a cross for Philip Millen. You know, I lifted my heart and I said, Lord, save me. I didn't really know how to come. I didn't know the theology. And let me ask you, who knows the theology? But I know this, and my Bible says this, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I called, and the Lord saved me. And I'll tell you something. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. And I invited Christ into my heart. And my, what a change. That was Christmas Eve. And we used to have a Boxing Day convention in Coleraine Free Church. And they had a meeting at 11:30, they had a meeting at 3:30, they had a meeting at 7 o'clock on Boxing Day. You couldn't get people out of the house on any day, hardly, around Christmas. But that church was packed. And I went along, that was just a couple of days after I got saved. And I remember the preacher, Dr. Paisley, then, he said, everybody saved, stand to their feet. That was a test of my faith. All around me were people looking at me and they thought, Philip Millen's not saved. Well, you know something, I stood up. I could see the looks, I could feel the looks. What's wrong with him? But you know something, I made a stand there. I was never ashamed. I've let the Lord down, can I tell you? But what a joy it is to have Christ. What a joy it is. What a thrill it is to be saved. Young people, give your life to Christ. Is it well? This woman, she could say it was well materially. She could even say it was well socially. You know, they wanted to reward this woman. You can read about that. Elisha wanted to reward her and wanted to give her something because she was a caring woman and she cared for the prophet of God. And I'll tell you something, even though she did that, still didn't spare her from trials. Sometimes God, people, you know, I was with a man yesterday. He was as healthy as a trout. I went out to his home yesterday and they said, Mr. Millen, I've just got word. I've got cancer of the pancreas. I tell you, that rocked him. That would rock anybody. I'm not asking you, is it well with you physically, socially? Because you might be well tonight, physically. You might be well tonight. Many years ago, we had a young fella. He was 28. He helped us in the building of our church. He didn't belong to us. He wasn't a converted young fella, but he came to our church and he had a digger. And he helped to dig and he worked tenaciously. He was 28. And I remember him saying to me, look, I'm going to have to leave you for a couple of weeks. I think it was a week maybe. He says, I'm going to Tenerife. Some of my friends are going with me. We're going to Tenerife. He says, we'll see you when we come back. He went out to Tenerife. I think he went out on a Saturday. Sunday night, he was on the balcony of his apartment. First floor balcony. 28. And he's sitting on the balustrade, the railing just outside, where he was sitting with some of his friends. And he sat on the edge of the balustrade. And he looks up to his friends. We're up above him in the next apartment. He says, fellas, isn't this the life? And with that, he slipped and he fell backwards. And he fell awkwardly. And he fell on his neck. And he never regained consciousness. I remember going to his mum and dad. They had to fly out to Tenerife. Their 28-year-old boy, he was a good fella. He was a hard-working fella. He was just 28. And in an instant, he was dead. There is but a step between thee and death. That's what David said. I'll tell you what. There's a heartbeat between you and death. Whether you're young or whether you're old, is it well? This woman could say it was well. Why? And here's the gospel message tonight. I can say with the authority of God's word behind me that it can be well with you tonight if you're not saved, if you're not washed. Why? Why could this woman say it was well with her child? He was dead. The child was dead. And yet she could say it was well. Why? I want you to know something. If you look at this passage of scripture, if you look at verse 16, the servant of God, Elisha, comes to this woman. And he says to her, he says, about the season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. He comes, this man of God. He was really the mouthpiece for God. He was really the spokesman for God, Elisha the prophet. And he comes to this woman and he says, you know, about the time of life, you're going to have a child. She says, no, nay, my Lord. That's what she says in verse 16. Thy man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. She didn't believe him. But I'll tell you something. It says this in verse 17. And the woman conceived, just as the man of God said. Just as the man of God promised. Now, how do I know that you could be saved tonight? Have I got some magical wand? Do I somehow have a mystical a ball that I can gaze into and I say, look, you could be saved tonight. No, you know what I have? I have the authority of God's word. You know, faith is based on God's word. It's not based on how I feel or how you feel. Because if you're a Christian even tonight, there's times you don't feel you're saved. Maybe tomorrow morning you'll not feel like getting up to go to work. But no matter how you feel, you have to get up to go to work. There's days I get up, you know, I don't feel like I'm a Christian at all. But my salvation, your salvation, and if you want to be saved, it's not based on your feelings. It's based on the Word of God. And here's the promise of God, and it's given to us in God's Word. And I'll just quote one of them. Acts chapter 16, verse Verse 31. Here's what the Lord says. And Paul and Silas are speaking the word of God. And the Philippian jailer says, what must I do to be saved? Here's what they say. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. That's a wonderful promise. Just let me say that again to mums and dads and folks who have wayward sons and wayward daughters breaking your heart tonight. You know the Lord says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. That's a covenant promise. That's a covenant promise you can quote before God. And you can say, Lord, here's your word. That settles it. You said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I shall be saved and my house. That's how you're saved. Believing the promise of God. But there was something else that this woman had. And she believed that the God who had given her the child, miraculously, wonderfully, could give the child back again. Do you know something? I believe. My faith is based on the solid promises of God. And I believe this old-fashioned book. I'll tell you, it's a great book. Let me remind you, it's a great book, this book. When David went, he said about the sword of Goliath, he said this, give it to me, for there is none like it. There's no book like this book. Hallelujah. You know, you squeeze this book from Genesis to Revelation and it oozes with blood. It's all about the blood. You say, preacher, how can I be saved? I'll tell you how you'll be saved. There's power in the blood this evening. Hallelujah. There's victory at the cross. This woman, she also had another strap around her wrist. Not only the promise of God's precious word, but she believed in the power of God. Because Elijah, who was the prophet before Elisha, remember what happened in his ministry? There was another wee child that he raised that child to life again. And here's what this woman said. If God could raise that child under Elijah's ministry, he can raise my child under Elisha's ministry. Because after all, Elisha was given a double portion of God's Spirit. She believed that the same power that raised Elijah's child could raise Elisha's child. The wee child that she had died. You say, preacher, how do I know I can be saved? Oh, I've got the authority not only of God's word, but I've got the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. What can wash away my sin? Time has gone, nothing. But the blood of Jesus. And I tell you tonight, there is power. Sin-destroying power, devil-defeating power, soul-saving power, sin-cleansing power, God-glorifying power in the blood of the Lamb tonight. Hallelujah. You know what washes away your sin? Nothing but the blood of the Lamb. Not the waters of baptism. We had a wee man. He came from Tyrone. He's passed away this year. I had the joy of preaching at his service, preaching the gospel. And he used to say to me, you know, and this was his famous saying, he used to say to me, you know, I was confirmed, he said. I was confirmed to my church, he said. But he says, I was a confirmed liar because I wasn't saved. And he says, you know, I'm through the waters of baptism. He says, they made me a bit better, but they never made me any better. And he used to say to me, you know, I have a name on the church roll. Membership of the church roll. He said this. Might as well be on a sausage roll as far as getting me into heaven is concerned. You might be a member of this church. I'm not asking you, are you a member of Margaret Hill Free Presbyterian Church? You might be a member of no church. Here's what I'm asking you. And you'll be able to say as well, is your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Do you know the moment a soul gets saved, the great angels, the recording angels in heaven, write your name down. And I'll tell you something, no eraser, no rubber of the devil can take your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. You know what the Bible says? You're etched in the palms of Christ's hands. Can a mother forsake her children? Yes, she may. But the Lord says, I'll never forsake you. Is your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Do you know this woman? Yes, she believed in these things, but I want you to notice what it says in verse 24. Then she sat on an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward, slack not thy riding, except I bid thee. So this woman, the moment the child dies, you know what she does? She makes haste. Some of you in Market Hill have listened to your preacher preach with fire, preach with enthusiasm, preach with zeal that you need to get saved. And you've been troubled about that, but you've never come to Christ. Do you know what you've said? I'll wait. There was a man called Harold Paisley, brother of Ian Paisley. And he was a brethren preacher and he had a great gospel mission one time. And the mission went on for weeks and weeks and weeks. There was a businessman from the local area who attended that mission. And everybody was praying for him that he would get saved. And some people said to him, I said, I'll wait. Came to the end of the mission. The mission was over. And this businessman never came. One day he was in a Free Presbyterian home. And the woman said to him, I heard you were at the mission. He said, yes. She said, you never think of getting saved. He says, you know, I've got time enough. She said, you know something? That's a foolish thing to wait. Because you could wait too long. He says, well, I'm going to wait. He says, I'm going to wait till my deathbed and then I'll turn to Jesus Christ. She said, that's a silly, foolish thing. And she pleaded with him. And he said, you know, I'm just waiting like the thief on the cross. I'm waiting like him. At the last moment, that thief on the cross turned to Jesus Christ. And that thief on the cross was saved. The woman looked at him. She said, that's right. He was saved. She says, I don't have much faith in deathbed repentance, but I'll remind you of this. On the other side of Jesus Christ's cross was another thief. He was on his deathbed, and he didn't repent. He went to hell. He stormed out of the room, and he went back home. A couple of weeks went by. He was in the home with his wife. The time was gone. He was in the home with his wife. He was sitting in the armchair. They were sitting watching television. His wife looks at him, he's becoming a bit pale. He felt a tightness around the chest and he said to his wife, you know, I have an awful tightness in my chest and in my arm. She put her arm around him and he gave a gulp and he passed into God's eternity. You know what the Bible says? Let me just, I might not ever be at a harvest service, neither might you. The Bible says, be in time. Time. This is the service for you. This is the meeting for you. This is the harvest time for you. This is the last harvest for you. You say, preacher, I might have opportunities. I remember one of our youth rallies in Randallstown, a young fella from Oma Free Presbyterian Church coming to our youth rally, and he left the youth rally at a quarter past 12 on a Sunday night, a Monday morning. Quarter past 12, he left the youth rally at a quarter to one between Cookstown and Oma. Just halfway along, he had a terrible accident. He hit another car. He was killed himself, and two other people in the car were killed, and he entered immediately within half an hour of leaving a service such as this. Entered into God's eternity. Joel was just 19. Mother, is it well with you? When I say is it well spiritually? Are you saved? You know something? You'll never die well until you live well. And you'll never live well until you have Christ as your Savior. Mother, father, is it well with the husbands? Let me speak to the children. Is it well with you? Are you saved? Let's bow together. Time is gone. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Meeting is over. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being with us. As our heads are bowed, can I ask God's people if they'll pray? If you're saved in this meeting, will you lift your heart to God in prayer? If you're not saved, if you cannot say it as well with your soul,
I wonder, will you come to Christ? As our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, can I ask God's people to pray that souls will come to Christ at this harvest? That'd be a wonderful token of blessing, wouldn't it? Why, that would make this harvest service a great harvest service. If you're not saved in this meeting, if you're a mother, you're a father, you're a child, you're a young person, would you like to get saved? Would you like to come to Christ even tonight? Would you like to press in and get gloriously saved? As their heads are bowed, the meeting is over almost. If there's one in this meeting and you say, preacher, I'd like to get saved. I cannot save you. There's only one can save you. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. But you would like even your preacher, your minister, to open the scriptures afterwards and point you to Christ. He'd be glad to do that. Is there one tonight? You say, preacher, I'd like to get saved. Just in the closing moments. Will you do something? I'm not going to make a long appeal, but we're going to ask you to do something. Will you slip up your hand just now above your head? If you'd like to get saved, just above your head right now, let me see it. Somewhere in the meeting, if I see that hand, I'll acknowledge it. Won't save you, but it's just an indication you'd like to come to Christ. Is there one? Is there a young person? You say, preacher, I need to get saved. Let me see your hand just right now, somewhere in the meeting. Can I see your hand? Mother, come to Christ. Father, get saved. Would you like to get saved? Would you? Would you like to come now? Meeting is almost over. Is there one? You say, preacher, lift up your hand. The moment I see it, I'll acknowledge it. You take it down again. Just right now. Slip it up. Let me see it. Get it up above your head. Going to hand it over to Mr. Porter.
Our God and our Father, we just thank Thee tonight for Thy presence with us in this gathering. We thank Thee for the faithful preaching, Lord, of Thy Word. And Lord, our prayer is that Thou will just speak on. We pray, Lord, that each and every soul will be able to answer and say, yes, it is well with my soul. We thank Thee, Lord, that it can be well through the blood of Christ. We pray this night, O God, for men and women, and boys and girls unsaved, that they would close in with Christ and be saved, and that they would trust Him as their own and personal Savior. Lord, answer prayer. Pray for the backslider, Lord. Bring them back to Yourself, that it might be well with them in their Christian life, that they might go on with God. Lord, hear in heaven Thy dwelling place, and answer prayer, O God, to this night. For we ask it all for Jesus' sake and for Your glory. Amen. And amen. We're just going